I guess this was working. Okay. Hannah asked me to share a little bit for her this morning. She was thinking about sharing, but she's been feeling a little bit sick lately, so I guess I'm going to be doing all the talking again. I guess I wanted to take this time to have a little bit of an opportunity, because the time that we've been here, I know I haven't gotten to meet everyone, unfortunately, and so I just felt like this would be an appropriate time to really get to share a little bit of Hannah and I's story, our story, with you guys, so that you guys know a little bit more about us. It's pretty simple, I guess. Hannah grew up in a Christian family down in Florida, and so that's where we met. And I grew up in an Amish family, so it was kind of similar. It wasn't huge differences, I guess. My family left the Amish. Our whole family left when I was about 7 or 8 or something like that. After we had left, my mom was really looking for a church. So we went to a lot of different local churches, which I guess there was only 2 or 3 of them that I really remembered. But one of my first memories of church was one of the first times we had gone to church after we had left. And we went to Calvary Assembly of God, I think it was called. And that's a lot of people know about that church. It's a bigger church there in Camden. It was one of their programs of play that they had. And I remember there being, there was an altar call after the program. And, you know, this church has hundreds of people there. But I remember feeling something in me saying that I should go. And I couldn't really describe it, but I did. I was probably 9 or so. I don't remember. A lot of people remember the day or the date of when they were saved, but I just remember the experience. So that was the first time. And then after that, we went to several different churches, and we eventually ended up in a Baptist church in Harrington, and that's where I spent a lot of my time growing up, and I learned the most. I guess that's pretty much it. I started with then and pretty much never looked back. And Hannah's pretty much the same story. I mean, it was when she was real young, and she grew up in a Christian family. And so we both grew up knowing about God and learning more about Him. So I would say we were both on a pretty fast track for learning and growing up. We met in college, when I went to college. And up until that point, I had just devoted my life to making sure that no matter what I did, it was what God had wanted me to do. So I took time and prayed about everything. And I shared this a little bit with you guys before. But I guess I really just wanted to go over this again, because I feel like sometimes maybe people get the wrong impression of me, thinking that I've, you know, somehow there's something different or special about me. I just kind of want to clarify that so that there's no confusion. I never really did anything special growing up. I'm not anything particularly outstanding. If you see anything in me that seems different or is good, then I promise you that is God and not me, okay? Because all of the things that have ever happened in my life that have been extraordinary or different were all because I let God make the decision, and it wasn't my planning or my decision. Just like even with going to college, I prayed about it, and God told me to go to this college down in Florida that I had never really even heard about. A friend of mine had gone, and that's the only thing I'd ever heard about it. And it was just this really, really small Christian college in Florida that was called Clearwater Christian College. And So I kept praying about it, and God kept directing me towards it. And so I did. I went to Clearwater, and I studied Bible, which I don't know if you guys are aware or not, pretty much means that you're destined to never make money. You can't do anything with a Bible degree except for study the Bible. So, and that's what I wanted, and I knew God wanted for me, so that's what I went to do. And it was there that, you know, I'd spent a long time growing up. I'd really wanted to be in a relationship. I'd wanted to end up, I knew I wanted to get married one day, and I wanted to have a family. And I prayed about that as well, and I gave that up to God. And I decided that if it was going to happen, God was going to have to make it happen, because I didn't want to end up taking such a big decision and messing it up somehow. So I gave it all up to God, and I told him. And eventually, you know, after years of not hearing any responses and him not directing me towards any relationships, I just kind of gave up, and I decided, well, God, if it's what you want, if you really don't want me to be in a relationship, then I'll be okay with that. I'm okay with that. Whatever you have is better. And so it was while I was in Clearwater that my first roommate had invited me to his house, which was about an hour away from the college in Florida, for spring break. And so I accepted it. And so I went to his house for spring break, and that's where I met Hannah. And as soon as I met her, I knew there was something there, and I knew that, I don't know, that God had done something. But I prayed right away. I said, because I had gone on spring break planning. I only took my Bible. There was going to be no schoolwork. There was going to be no studying. There's going to be nothing except prayer and reading His Word. And I had already made up my mind on that. And so when I saw her and I knew right away that I liked her, I prayed right away. I said, God, please just take this away unless it's real. I don't want this distraction right now. I don't need it. I want to focus on you. I want to get to know you better. And he immediately replied, no, I want you to pursue this. And I sat there, and as I was praying, I was like, no. That's just what I want to hear. That's not right. And I was like, no, God, take this away. And he said, no, this is from me. I want you to pursue this. And so that's what I did. And so we started talking then, and we had, it was about a little over a year of just a long distance relationship, because she wasn't going to the college, and I lived in Delaware. So we had a long distance relationship for a long time, and eventually she ended up coming to the college for two semesters. One semester, was it only one semester? Wow, okay. So that was about the most time we spent together. But in the time that we did spend together, again, I had made up my mind that if it was from God, that He was going to have to make it work. So I've shared with you guys, I think the last time I spoke, a little bit about the struggles I had with pornography. And so I decided there was no way that any relationship should have any dishonesty in it. And so I think one of our first dates, I told her all about it, and then afterwards I called her dad and told him all about it. And so I figured I'd just get it all out, and if it was not meant to be, then it wouldn't happen, and if it was meant to be, then we'd work through it. And we did, and believe me, it was not easy. There was nothing, there's nothing easy about that. But in that, God showed me that this was His plan, that us being together was part of His plan, that He had done this. We end up getting to a point where we almost broke up, and we're sitting there and we're both crying, and I had made up my mind that it was just going to be better if we did. And for those of you who don't know, Hannah is the type of person that is very picky about her, about who she dated, which is another proof that it was God, because when we first met, probably wouldn't be able to tell from how good looking I am right now, but it was pretty bad. I did not care about what I looked like at all. Worse, more so then than even now. So it was at the point where actually her mom, first time she met me, came to her afterwards and asked her if I was homeless. So it was bad. So the fact that she was okay with dating me was something. God was blinding her eyes or something, because it was bad. But actually, my friend, the roommate who I went to stay with, had told me about her after he found out that we were dating. He said, he called me up one time in college and he said, "I don't know if you really want to go through with this." And I was like, "Oh boy, what the heck am I missing now? Like, this is bad. This is a definite red flag." And he said, "Yeah, I just, like, she's dated a lot of guys in the church, and I just feel like she's trying to find Jesus in a guy." And I was like, "Well, hallelujah, there you go. That's all the answer I needed." And he meant it as in she was very picky. If there was anything wrong with a guy, she would just dump him right there. And she would do it, and she didn't wait for him to break up. And so the fact that we were able to go through everything that we did, and that in the end, even though I was willing to break it off for her sake, like I said, we were sitting there crying about it, and we both prayed, and she came back and said, "No, I can't. Like, this is meant to be. God is telling me that we're gonna have to work through this." And even just that alone, that you know, she didn't just break up with me right then and there, was evidence that this was what God had done. This was Him working and not me. And our relationship has just been like that ever since then. So, but I mean, that's just one little example of all the different things that God has done for us, you know, in just being able to surrender and let Him make our decisions for us. It's not been easy, but it's all worked out fantastically every time. So just so everybody knows, I'm nothing special. And the fact that I stand here now, 25 years old, a quarter of a century years old, and God has decided in His perfect timing to open up this new chapter for us is just another testimony of how great He is and how perfect He is. His ways are so much better than I could have ever imagined, and He just keeps showing us this. And to make a long story short, for both of us, giving up and letting God make our decisions, we've gotten to a point where He has just kept revealing Himself more and more, to me especially, and I know to Hannah as well. I've gotten to know God so well, to be able to hear His voice, to be able to see what He wants me to see. He leads me everywhere He wants me to go, and that's just been... It's the most amazing thing ever to to be able to stand here and say that I am God's son, and that He has chosen to have a relationship with me. Trust me, I don't have anything to brag about in my life, but if I have one thing to brag about, it will be that I know God, that I've been blessed enough to be called His son. That's the greatest honor I'll ever have. And so to be here, and I know I speak for Hannah too, to be standing up here in front of you guys and be chosen to be an elder on this team at church is just, it's a huge honor and a huge responsibility, I know, which I struggle with sometimes, but I know that God is working and that He'll take care of it. But we are really, really, truly grateful to God first and foremost for choosing us and for working in our lives and doing what He's done, being as good as He has. But then to you as well for just for all that you've done for us and as a church since we've been here, and helping us feel welcome and being patient with us as we take time to develop. So anyway. God did give me a message for this morning. It's pretty short and simple, which is just seems like how he likes to speak to me a lot of times. But a couple weeks ago, it's just been a while, ever since Matt had told me about this morning, it was a couple days after that, I think it was, that I was at work. And I was working down in Camden at a job. And for those of you who don't know, I own my own business, and I do... renovating, I guess, kind of construction. And I was working at a job, and I'd forgotten to pick something up at Lowe's, which really put me behind in time because it was already going to be a long day. So I had to run real quick all the way up to the Dover Lowe's because the Camden Lowe's didn't have what I needed. So around lunchtime, I decided I would just run up there real quick and try and make it work. And so I'm driving, and I pull up off onto the highway, onto Route 13, and I pull up behind this car that the license plate just says God's Love. And I was like, wow, that's weird. I've never seen that before. That's pretty cool. And then I heard God tell me, I want you to follow my love. And I was like, kind of in a time crunch here. I need to get to Dover Lowe's, so I don't really have time to go running through the countryside on, you know, following this car. And he said, no, I want you to follow it. And so I did, and it was heading the same direction I was, so I figured it couldn't be too bad. So I followed this car that had a license plate that said God's Love, and it ended up taking a turn off the highway that I wasn't planning on taking. I needed to get to Dover Lowe's, and I thought I knew the fastest way. I was like, but I felt God say again, I need you to follow it, so I turned with it, and I followed this car, and it went a faster route to the Dover Lowe's than I would have taken. Went all the way to Dover Lowe's, and so after that, he told me that he wanted me to speak to you guys today about his love. So if you want, Seth, if you could put that verse up for me, that'd be great. There's a passage in Hebrews, and it's actually taken out of Proverbs, where God talks a little bit about his love. So let's go ahead and read that before we start. All right, it says in verse 6 of chapter 12, I believe. Yeah. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his child, in this case. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? So, a lot of times we hear a lot about God's love, and it's preached to us very often. And rightly so. His love is huge. It's immense. It's powerful. It changes our lives. But one thing that we sometimes don't consider when we talk about God's love is the different aspects of his love. So love isn't always, accepting. Because we tend to think of love as always accepting of who you are no matter what. And God does love us no matter what. I don't want to get that confused. But a father's love is a little different. And we see that here. So, and I've started, I guess, really to see that with my own kids now that I have my own. I understand it better and better. I love my kids. But I know that they're not perfect. I love them anyway, no matter what, because they're so great. They're hilarious at times, and they're very smart, and they always keep you on your toes. But as their father, I know that they're not done growing yet. I love them right now the way that they are, but I also know that they have a whole life ahead of them, and I know that there's a lot coming for them that is going to be difficult and is going to challenge them, especially if they're not ready. It might have the potential to ruin them. So as their father, I want to see them grow. I want to see them learn and mature. And our Heavenly Father is no different from that. He created us, and he knows that, yes, now that we are his children, he loves us. He loves that we're learning. He loves to see us eager to grow, but he wants us to take those steps. He wants to see us mature. He wants to see us grow up. A lot of us, I'm not even going to say that. It's just easy. It's very easy for us as children to be able to be content and to just relax and say, that it's okay the way that I am now. I've come a long way, and this is good enough, right? And flip that, it's just as easy as a parent. For me as a father, it is not easy disciplining your children. it is difficult. It is very difficult. It'd be much easier for me as a dad to say, "You'll just figure it out," or, you know, I don't want to go through the hectic process of trying to teach you something or to discipline you. It's so much easier to just say it's okay, right? But you don't learn from that. And because I love them, because I care about them, I'm going to try, and I'm going to go outside of my comfort zone, and I'm going to try to reach out and teach them lessons. I want them to learn. And God is the same way. It'd be so much easier for us if God just said, "I love you exactly the way you are right now, and I don't want you to ever change." It'd be so easy for us to just stay the way we are and not do anything. But that's not what God has planned for us. That's not His will for us. He does love us, but He wants us to grow. And He's not going to make life easy for us, because He wants to challenge us. He wants us to learn how to overcome things. He wants us to be able to be stronger. He wants us to mature. So I guess, it's pretty straightforward this morning. God wants us to grow. Don't get discouraged when life is difficult. Don't blame God when things aren't working out very well or things get uncomfortable, because He's doing it for a reason. A lot of times we like to also blame the devil that our lives are difficult, or that things are not exactly the way we want them to be. When God is standing there saying, "No, I'm the one who's making it difficult for you. I want you to learn. I want you to grow. I want you to understand me better. Because if we stay the way we are, how are we going to understand more about God? Unless we grow, we're not going to be able to get to know Him better." And that's what He wants from us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to grow with Him, to be able to walk with Him. But if we stay kids forever, we're not going to be able to keep up with Him. We're not going to be mature enough to be able to walk in his steps. So I guess my encouragement for us all this morning is that we learn to not be complacent. I don't want to say that we shouldn't be content, because God does want us to be content. Anxiety and fear, those things tend to hold us back. They don't make us grow. They keep us where we are. But we should yearn for more. We should want more. Love drives you to do more. So if you truly love God, you will be pushed out of your comfort zone. You'll run out of the places you are now to try and go further, to get to know Him better. So this morning, I guess if things seem difficult, or if you feel the pressure of life and it looks like you just can't control things around you, I would encourage you to learn how to rejoice. Take comfort in that, because just like He says here in Hebrews, God puts us through hardship. He wants us to go through those things so that we can grow. If He is bringing hardships into your life, that's a great thing, because that means He loves you and He wants you to grow. He sees that you're close. He knows that you're so close to learning something new, to developing something, and He wants to help you. He's putting you through that so that you can grow. My vision and my goal for us as a church is that we become overcomers, that we learn to grow, that we don't get stagnant in our relationship with God. I want each and every one of us to know Him. I want us to learn how to hear Him, to see Him. He wants the same thing for us, for each and every one of you. He made each and every one of you. He could have just not, but He didn't. He made you. Because He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to be able to know where He wants you to go. He cares about you. He cares about you enough to push you out of your comfort zones and to tell you when you're doing something wrong. So God, our Father, we just come before You now and we just ask, God, that You would just please continue to show Your love to us. Father, help us to have the strength to not get too discouraged when life gets difficult, God, but to remember that You're the one who's working things for our good. You're the one who's in control. Father, You're the Creator. You are God. You made this world, this universe. Nothing is outside of Your control. So we want to come before You now and to give You control over our hearts and our lives. God, to bow before You and show You our hearts, to hold nothing back. You are so good. God, everything You do is good. And so we trust You and we believe in You. Please keep sending Your Spirit to work in our hearts. Keep pushing us. Keep pushing those same lessons until we learn. Help us, God, to know You better, to understand what You're doing, at least as much as is humanly possible. And I just ask that in everything, God, in all things that we do as a church, as Your children, God, that it all be for Your honor and for Your glory. And that You be pleased in all of it. God, that we could be good enough kids that we could bring a smile to Your face. Thank You so much for Your love that drives us onward. And we just ask You to help us to have that same love for each other. And we ask it all now in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.